up. We'll ask John Arnold to head down to the front, and John's going to give us a message on God's Word. We're continuing our series in Walking with God. Maybe a subtle change. I think we're now calling it Walking with Christ, but some might argue that's the same thing, but we'll turn it over to John.
I'll keep that. Yeah, today we're making the transition between walking with God and walking with Christ. And the woman that I get to talk about today kind of bridges both. I'm going to talk today about Elizabeth. But I want to see what you remember over the last few weeks. We had several people speak on different people who walked with God through the Old Testament. Last week, Ron spoke. Anybody remember who Ron spoke about? Well, I don't want to pick on Ron because, you know, it'd be too bad if he couldn't remember. Who? Elisha, that's right. Les spoke one few weeks ago. Anybody remember who Les spoke on? I'll tell you who all spoke. Okay, Les spoke, Marjorie spoke, Michael Reed spoke, Dawn spoke, and Ron spoke last week. So now I'm going to ask you, can you remember any of those who spoke on any of those? You don't even have to remember which one was which. So we had Elisha last week. Michael Reed spoke on Rahab, that's right.
Elijah.
That was Les who spoke on Elijah. Hannah. Marjorie spoke on Hannah.
Miriam.
And Miriam. Dawn spoke on Miriam. Okay, that's good. So we remember who spoke and remember who they talked about. Anything that stands out in those sermons that struck you, that you remember, that, you know, has you know, changed your life, or maybe not, maybe it's just something that... For me, Marjorie's talking about Hannah. I'd never thought about her leaving her son in the temple, but it was an evil place. Eli's sons were really bad men, and yet she trusted God to say, no, this is what I promised God, I'm going to do this, and I know you will protect my son. And I'd never thought through that before, but they took the best meat from the sacrifices, they were sleeping with the women who came to the temple, they were, drunkenness and debauchery happened there, and yet she trusted God to say, I will leave my son because I promised I would. That was a new one for me. Are there other things that people remember from the sermons that you heard?
God uses young people. Miriam. She was very young when they left Moses in the river. God uses young people.
Okay, so God uses young people. She was. She was a little girl. She was standing in the reeds looking after her little boy, her little brother who was floating in the basket. Ted. Many had character flaws. That showed up last week, didn't it, in Ron's sermon about Elisha. He had a temper. And Ron pointed out at the beginning and at the end of his life, it was still there. And yet God still said, no, I've got use for you. You know, as a speaker who speaks once in a while, I always like it when somebody remembers something I said. So, I mean, it's good for us to kind of think back. It's good. It encourages the speakers. But it also helps us remember, you know, what... You know, the sermon isn't just for that, you know, hour, less than an hour on a Sunday morning. I won't preach for an hour. But it's to help us, I mean, we should have things stick with us. And sometimes they stick with us up here, and sometimes they stick with us down here, and sometimes in our hands and our feet and how we live our lives. Well, today I want to look at Elizabeth. And actually, Elizabeth only shows up once in the Bible. This is the mother of John the Baptist. And it's Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 1. And it's actually one of the longest chapters in any of the Gospels. And so I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to tell you the story, though. And I want you to think through this with me. And as I was going through it, I was thinking, okay, let me try and put the pieces together and see how this all worked. And Luke actually starts his book by, he says, I've gone back and I've done some investigation and some research, and I'm trying to piece this together for his friend Theophilus. I'm trying to tell you this story. But he went back, and I'm sure he went back and interviewed people, talked to eyewitnesses. He wasn't there when Jesus was around, so he had to go back and find people who could tell him. And my guess is at this part, he went and talked to Mary, Jesus' mother. That's my own guess, though. I don't know that for sure. But he obviously went and talked to somebody who knew what had happened back then and got the story and wrote it down. And he starts the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And he says, there was this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who lived in the hill country of Judah, and Zechariah was a priest. And so when it was his group of priests' turn, they would go into Jerusalem and they would serve as a priest for their period of time. And I don't know how long that was, but maybe it was a month at a time. He would go in and be the priest for a month with another group of descendants of Aaron. And then his rotation would come off and he would go back home again until the next time that they went in again. So he was probably a farmer. He was probably somebody who lived, maybe he was a shepherd, had some sheep or goats or something like that. But once in a while, he'd be in Jerusalem to do his other job, and then he'd go back home to do his day job. But he and Elizabeth lived in the hill country of Judah. And it says in verses 6 and 7, it says, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. So here they are, Elizabeth and Zechariah. They live in somewhere outside of Jerusalem. They've been married a long time, and they have no kids. At the same time, they observe all the commands and decrees blamelessly. They're righteous in the sight of God. So Zechariah, one year, he gets his call to go into Jerusalem to do his job as the priest, and so he goes in to do his job as the priest. And he's there, and it just so happens that his turn comes to burn the incense in the holy place in the temple. So this is the time of there is a temple that Herod built in Jerusalem. It's big, it's impressive, it's no longer just the tent of the tabernacle, and it's not David's temple. David's temple had been destroyed, or Solomon's temple had been destroyed, but Herod had built a new one. So he goes in and he gets to burn the incense in the holy place in the temple. And he goes in and he lights the incense, and he goes in there by himself. Everybody else is still outside worshiping and praying. And while he goes in to light the incense, suddenly beside the altar, an angel appears. And the angel says to him, Zechariah, I've got good news for you. Well, first of all, he says, don't be afraid. But he says, I've got good news for you. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. And he's going to bring the people of Israel back to God. And Zechariah looks at him. He said, how can this be? I'm an old man. My wife is getting up in years. How can we have kids? How can we have a son now? And the angel says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in God's presence, and I've been come to give you that message. And because you doubt it, you're not going to speak again until this baby is born. So life lesson number one, if an angel tells you something, don't argue back. But John then suddenly couldn't speak anymore. So Zechariah, he was supposed to be doing his incense activities. He got to talk to the angel. He finally finishes doing what he's doing. And the people outside are going, what's going on? He's been there a long time. What's taking so long? And eventually he comes out and he can't speak. And everyone's amazed and they say, oh my goodness, he must have had a vision. Something happened in there. So Zechariah finishes his duty as the priest. So they let him keep going even though he can't speak. He finishes however many more weeks he is there as the priest, and then he goes back home again. And somehow in there he's learned to communicate without speaking and explains things to his wife, and sure enough, she gets pregnant. So here's Elizabeth, who's been barren for a long time. They've been married for a long time. They just didn't have any kids. And she gets pregnant. And what does she do when she gets pregnant? She decides she's not going out for a while. She's going to stay at home, secluded, and keep this secret to herself for a while. My guess is, part of it was to make sure that she had this baby. I mean, who knows? She may have had various miscarriages over the years, and this is a high-risk thing. She's an older woman. We don't know how old she was. It says she was well along in years. I mean, maybe that means she was 45. In that time, I mean, think about, okay, this is a rural farming community. Probably girls got married early. They're probably at 17, 18 or having babies. And they have babies, you know, every 2 or 3 years until they're 35, 40. And I would guess by the time a woman is 45, she may be thought of as being quite old and past her time of having babies. Maybe she was older than that. Maybe she was 60. I don't know how old she was. But she was well along in years past the time that most women were having babies. So she says, I'm going to stay home alone. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to stay secluded for the next 5 months. And so she does. Now, end of these 5 months, we shift scenes, and Gabriel gets the call to go back to Earth again. This angel comes back to Earth to talk to Mary. Must have been an exciting time for angels. I mean, they haven't been to Earth for a long time. There hasn't been, you know, major interaction with people, and suddenly, twice in about 6 months, Gabriel gets to go and bring good news again. So he comes down to talk to Mary. And he comes to her and he says, Mary, you are blessed. You're blessed by God. You're going to bear God's son as your baby. And Mary, a little wiser than Zacharias, didn't quite argue with him, but says, how is this going to happen? And he says, well, he said, this Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to get pregnant, and you're going to give birth, and this child is going to be called the Son of God. And he said, but anything is possible with God. You know, your cousin, Elizabeth, she's pregnant. She's actually 6 months into her pregnancy. Well, Mary gets all excited and says, okay, I want to go see Elizabeth. And she packs up and heads out right away. She goes to see Elizabeth. Now, I had to think through this. We aren't sure if they're cousins. Maybe Elizabeth is an aunt. They're somehow related. But Mary is quite young. Elizabeth is older. And they have some kind of relationship. But so Mary packs up. She lives in Nazareth, which is about 100 kilometers from Jerusalem. And Elizabeth and Zechariah, it says they live in the hill country of Judea. That's, I don't know if anybody's been to Israel. My understanding is that Judea is all hill country. That there's a whole bunch of hills around Jerusalem, but there's kind of a string of mountains or hills that run right through Jerusalem and south. So somewhere in around Jerusalem is where Zechariah and Elizabeth live. So Mary's got about 100 kilometers to travel. There's no bus, there's no train, there's no car, so she's somehow got to get from there to Jerusalem and then out to where her cousin lives. So she packs up to go early in her pregnancy, to go and see her cousin Elizabeth, or aunt, or whatever she is. Somehow they had a good relationship. They knew each other. They'd spent time together at some point, and so she comes to help, and probably comes to help because she knows Elizabeth is older, Elizabeth is pregnant, it's her first pregnancy. It'd probably be nice to have a younger woman around the house to help look after the house and do the things that need to be done. It also is probably handy for Mary, because all of a sudden she's pregnant, and how is she going to answer that question to everybody else? So it's probably not a bad thing for her to go away for a bit. Leave home, leave Joseph, go stay with her relative. And maybe this is the time, so Joseph actually gets visited by an angel. As I said, it must be an exciting time for angels. But that story's in Matthew. But maybe that's where the angel comes and talks to him and says, you know what, Joseph, you need to marry this girl. This is a special baby that she's got. So if we continue our story in Luke chapter 1. So Mary packs up her stuff, heads the 100 kilometers or so off to Jerusalem and then to wherever it is that Elizabeth and Zechariah live. I had to think through that too. Now, so Mary's 16 maybe? Maybe she's 18, maybe she's younger. I don't know. She's young. She's not that old. And she heads off to Jerusalem on her own. I don't know, how long does it take to walk 100 kilometers? It's at least a day's journey, maybe a couple days. I mean, it's a ways. Do you send her by herself? I don't know how she would travel. Do you wait and find like a group of people who are going together? I mean, maybe there are people who have donkey taxis. I don't know. I'm not sure how it worked. But somehow she got from where she was to where her relative lived. But she gets there. She goes into the house. Now, Elizabeth has been secluded. She's not telling people that she's pregnant. And then Mary shows up knowing that this is true. That must have been kind of exciting for the two of them, that this message, this information had been passed by angels to them. And when Mary shows up, suddenly Elizabeth gets up to greet her, and the baby, it says, jumped in her womb. She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and she speaks with a loud voice. Okay, so by now we're over in verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in the womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So, Mary arrives at Elizabeth's doorstep. Debbie and I lived in Tanzania for the last 3 years, and you don't knock on the door when you come to the door. You say, hodi, hodi, which is like knock, knock, I guess. And then the answer is karibu, which means come in, you're welcome. And that's probably what happened. Mary got to the door, got to the gate, something yelled to say something, and Elizabeth is inside, and suddenly the baby moves. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. She's so excited to see Mary. She said, why would I be so blessed to have you come to my house? You little girl who, you know, I knew as a little girl now is here, but here as the mother of my Lord. I want to walk through this timeline a little bit. It says that Mary at that point breaks into song and sings a song that sometime we read at Christmas time. We call it the Magnificat, where Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And on she goes through verse 56, and it says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Okay, I'm going to do a side point here. Remember last week I did a little announcement about our work that we're talking about doing in Haiti? And in that announcement I said that God talks about the poor all the way through the Bible. So this is a little commercial for that. In the middle of Mary's song, verse 52 and 53, she says, he's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Even in the middle of Mary's song, she talks about how God blesses the poor. So just a reminder, it shows up all through the Bible. God is concerned about the poor. So it says Mary stayed for 3 months and then she left. Now this one I had to think about. So Mary comes when she gets the news that Elizabeth is pregnant and the angel says she's in her sixth month. So even I can do this math. So Mary comes, does her few days of travel to get there, and then stays for 3 months. So how many months is that in Elizabeth's pregnancy? Probably 9. Now, it says in verse 56 that Mary stayed for 3 months and then she went back where she came from, and then it talks about John being born. Now, I'm not convinced she didn't stay for the delivery. I'm quite convinced she probably did. My guess is that Mary was there through the rest of the story, just the way Luke wrote it. Says, you know, it covers off Mary's end of the story and then talks about Elizabeth having the baby and what goes on from there. So Mary comes, and I would guess she stayed through the last 3 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, helps with the delivery, and then probably stays for a little while after that. When we were in Tanzania, we realized that, and actually it's not just Tanzania, lots of countries in Africa, when a woman has a baby, she basically has about 40 days that she can stay in bed, not do any work, and the rest of the women in her family and in the community take care of her and take care of her duties in the house. So one of the women that I worked with in Tanzania, her daughter had a baby. So my friend Victoria had a granddaughter while I was there. And for the first month, her daughter came and lived with her mom, and her mom took care of everything. So she didn't have to do anything. She didn't have to cook. She didn't have to look after the house. She didn't have to do laundry, do the cleaning, anything. Somebody else did that for her. And my guess is probably something like that happens in Palestine at the time. And probably Mary stayed and did some of that. So she was there to help help through this time of the end of the pregnancy, the birth, and the early part of the delivery. Now that's my speculation. It's not entirely clear in how it's written here. But Mary was there for a bunch of this time. And I think she wouldn't leave right before the baby was born, would she? I don't think so. I think she would have stayed for that and then gone back home eventually. So back to our story. So Mary says in verse 56, Mary goes home, but then it tells the story of the birth of John the Baptist. So it's when it was time for the baby, or for Elizabeth to give birth, she has a baby, it's a boy, and the neighbors, everybody's happy and excited for her, because she's been barren for this long. She's been a long time married and not had any kids. Now we learned about that in the story of Hannah. That was a terrible mark against you as a woman. Your role as a woman was to have babies, and if you couldn't, people made fun of you, people talked about you. people probably speculated, you know, oh yeah, here's Zechariah, he's a priest. But you know what? Either him or his wife, there's something there. God is punishing them for something because she's not having babies. I mean, there's probably stories about that. She had to live with that her whole life. And yet she continues to be faithful. She's righteous before God. And then he gives her this baby. So she has the baby. He's born. Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy for her. The relatives are there. Her, you know, sisters and sisters-in-law and nieces, and they're all there. The neighborhood is all there. Everybody's excited that she has this baby. And so it says, after 8 days, it's time to name the baby. And everyone says, okay, we're going to call this baby Zechariah because that's her father's name. That's his father's name. And Elizabeth says, no. Her name is going to be John. His name is going to be John. Everyone looks at Elizabeth and says, John? Is that some kind of modern name? There's nobody in your family named John. And so then they go to Zechariah and say to him, okay, what's this baby going to be named? And he says, well, you know, give me something to write on. And so they give him something to write on, and he writes, this baby's name is John. Well, everyone's shocked that they have talked to each other and agree on it. But so the baby is named John. And as soon as that happens, Zechariah can speak again. And he speaks, and then he sings a song, the last part of the chapter. It says, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he prophesied. And then it goes through what he prophesies. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he's come and has redeemed his people. And he goes through it, and he says that you, and this is verse 76, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. So Zechariah suddenly gets his voice back, and he prophesies what's going to happen with this little baby and what this baby's going to grow up into. And in verse 80, it says, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. So they named the boy John, and we get to know him as John the Baptist. Had they named him Zechariah the Baptist, doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? But everybody is surprised and excited. I mean, and it says in when Zechariah starts to speak, it says in verse 66, everyone who heard about it wondered, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Everybody is shocked and says, you know, what special event this was. First of all, this woman who's past childbearing years has a baby. Then her husband can't speak, and as soon as the baby's born, or as soon as they name the baby, he suddenly can speak again. What's going on here? And it actually says in verse 65, the neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the whole hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Word got out. Everyone's saying, man, did you hear this story? Did you hear the story of this baby? Sort of this miraculous birth, what happened, how it came about? Word got out. There's something special about this baby being born. So a lot happens in this chapter. So we've got the story of Zechariah in the temple. We've got the story of Elizabeth getting pregnant and through her pregnancy. Then we go to Mary. Mary shows up. They have the baby. John, word gets out about John's birth. I'm preaching about Elizabeth. What's Elizabeth's role in all of this? I mean, obviously she carries the baby. She's a bit of not the main character in this part of the story, is she? I mean, Zechariah gets visited by an angel. Mary gets visited by an angel. Mary sings a song. Zechariah sings a song. Elizabeth is the best supporting actor. Borrow the words from the Oscars. She plays a key role, but other people seem to be more important here. But she plays a key role because of the woman that she is. I was thinking about her and Mary. I mean, this is God intervening in the world like he's never intervened before. This is God about to rip history in half. He's going to send his son to earth to live as a human, to die as a human, to die as the redemptive sacrifice for us. And the two key players in this story are John the Baptist, who's going to pave the way for Jesus, and Jesus himself. And who are the two women who are going to make this happen? Well, it's Elizabeth and Mary. And here are the two of them together for 3 months, 3.5 months maybe, at a key time in the history of the world. These are two key women. Two key women that God chose because of who they are. Elizabeth, it says in verse 6, was upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. So she's upright and faithful to God. And Mary says over in verse 30, the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, you've found favor with God." God looked at Mary, he looked at Elizabeth, and he said, "These are the two women that I pick." Now, if you're Satan and you were aware of what was about to happen, Satan isn't. Satan can't predict the future. He doesn't get to see ahead. But if he knew what was going to happen, I mean, who would be the two people he would attack at this point in the story? Mary and Elizabeth. But he doesn't. God is there protecting them. But those two, I mean, this is the pivot point of all of history from God's point of view. He's about to send his son who's going to come and live as a human being and die to take away our sins. And God trusts Elizabeth and he trusts Mary to be the two who are going to carry it, to carry this out. Now, if you think about the two of them, so Elizabeth is older, barren, never had a baby. Mary is young, not married, never had a baby. Elizabeth, we hear, is faithful to God, righteous, blameless. Mary finds favor in God's eyes. Elizabeth secludes herself because she's excited. She's also careful. She doesn't want anything to go wrong with this pregnancy. Mary secludes herself a bit, partly because of the social stigma that's going to be attached to this. She's unmarried and is having a baby. She goes off to stay with her relative for a while at the beginning of this pregnancy. The birth of John brings excitement. It's a big community celebration. Everybody hears about it because of the miraculous nature of this birth. That Elizabeth has the baby, Zechariah gets his voice back, everybody's aware of what happened. Mary, her birth happens in a strange town, in a stable, away from the people that would normally take care of her and look after her. But at the same time, there's a celebration. Remember, there's angels, there's shepherds, there's all kinds of things happen at that birth. And John, he grows up, he lives in the desert, he's kind of a homeless person. He does bizarre things, itinerant preacher. But ends up paving the way for the Lord. Mary's son grows up, and when John introduces him to the world, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," baptizes him, launches him on his ministry, and he goes on to bring the message of the gospel to his disciples and to the people of Judea and Jerusalem. And we're going to talk more about Mary in a few weeks. She's going to be one of the women that we look at who walks with Jesus. But think about these. I mean, these are two special women. These are women that God chose because of who they are. And between John and Jesus, human history was about to change. John prepared people for Jesus' coming, and Jesus brought us redemption and salvation. And these two women had key roles, best supporting actors in the greatest show on earth. So what do we know about Elizabeth? We know what's in this chapter. That's all we've got. She doesn't show up again. I was thinking through, I wonder if she actually got to see Jesus once he was born. So come back to my timeline. So Mary travels to see Elizabeth six months into Elizabeth's pregnancy and stays up until the time the baby's born. And then it goes back to Nazareth, takes the 100-kilometer journey back again to be with Joseph. And they get married at that point. Somewhere in there they get married. And then, so that's, 3 months into Mary's pregnancy. By month 8 or 9, they travel back again to Bethlehem, because that's chapter 2 of Luke. They've got to come back to Bethlehem to be counted in this taxation scheme of Caesar. So she goes back for 5 months. Now, maybe she waited at Elizabeth's until she was done her first trimester. She felt better and was able to travel. She goes back, and then at 8 or 9 months, has to travel back again, 100 kilometers, donkey taxi, however she gets back, to Bethlehem. Now maybe, now this is just me speculating, maybe Elizabeth and Zechariah live somewhere close to Bethlehem. Bethlehem's in this hill country of Judea. Maybe they're in that neighborhood somewhere, and that's part of why Mary and Joseph stay there for a while, because it seems like they stay in Bethlehem until the wise men come. And maybe they were, you know, had some interaction at that point. Maybe Elizabeth was around to help with Jesus when he was born. Maybe. The Bible doesn't tell us that, doesn't tell us it didn't. But then remember, Mary and Joseph had to go off to Egypt when Herod came to kill all the little boys. They went off, stayed there until Herod died, so they were there for a couple of years and then came back and moved to Nazareth. So we have no idea if Elizabeth had interaction with Jesus once he was born. There's possibilities there. And as I think through the timelines and the geography, I think, yeah, actually, you know, it might make sense. She may have got to help with this baby when the baby was born, the baby Jesus, when the baby Jesus was born in Nazareth. But we don't know. We never hear about Elizabeth again. All we hear about after Jesus is born is John the Baptist. But yet we know that Elizabeth was somebody who was faithful and righteous and followed God, even though she was barren. So for years, she and Zechariah had hoped for a baby, had hoped for a baby, had hoped for a baby, and it didn't come. And yet she's still considered faithful. She's still considered blameless. She still does, follows all the regulation, the commands that God gives her. She's still the kind of woman that God would choose to bear John the Baptist. I think there's a lesson for us in there that, you know, things happen to us. And in Elizabeth's life, we see somebody who accepts that. She said, okay, God, I have been barren. I don't have any kids, but she doesn't get bitter. She doesn't fight against it. She doesn't turn away from God. She said, I will still follow you. I will still do what I should do. I will be righteous and just, and I will be blameless before you. So she continues faithfully despite her situation. Paul later on talks about, in Philippians, I've learned to be content with whatever my circumstances. Elizabeth is living that out. She's content, the fact that she's been a long time waiting for a baby and didn't have one. I think that's a model for us, that we can accept our place. If you look around our church, there are people here who don't have jobs, people who are sick, people who have, you know, difficult family situations. There's lots of things that, very human kinds of things. And we can see in Elizabeth, there's a time to accept that. That we say, you know what, God, you give us what you give us. You put us where we are for whatever purpose, and I'm willing to accept that and do that and follow what you want me to do. So in all these circumstances, we can be faithful and accept what God has given us. But the flip side of that is Zechariah and Elizabeth continue to pray for change. They continue to ask God to give them a baby. So Elizabeth isn't fighting God and saying, God, this isn't fair. You shouldn't have treated me like this. Why am I the one who has no baby? She continues to be faithful and righteous before God, but at the same time, she's praying for that to change. And she says, God, will you change this? Can you give us a baby? And there's nothing wrong with that either. So we can be accepting on one hand, and on the other hand, be asking God to say, you know what, God, I would really like a job, a permanent job. God, I would really like you to take this cancer away from me, and this depression away from me, you know, this financial situation away from me. I want you to change it. And we can do both at the same time and still be godly, faithful people. You accept what God gives you and you say, God, I understand this is where you want me to be right now. But I still am asking that you would give me a change, that you would give me something else. When the angel comes to Zechariah, the angel says, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. God was listening. They'd been praying, and my guess, even if she's 45, it's probably been at least 20 years that she's been praying to have a baby. Maybe it's been longer than that. Maybe she's been praying for 40 years to have a baby. The angel says, you know what, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. I have an answer for you. And it's an answer that you're going to like. Now, Zechariah is a smart husband. He was praying for his wife. Probably they were praying together. But they were asking that they could have a child. So although they were faithful and blameless, they continue to pray for a child. It's okay for us to pray for circumstances to change. Even though we accept our jobless state or our sick state or our poor state or whatever it is that's happening to us, we can remain faithful in that, but we're allowed to still say to God, God, if you are willing to change it, we ask you to change it. God put us where we are. He gives us what he gives us. But we're asked to remain faithful. But we can also ask him to do more, to change things. And in God's time, when he's ready, he can decide that he may answer that prayer. And when the answer came to Elizabeth and Zechariah, it came because that was the time that caught everyone's attention. Had Zechariah and Elizabeth had a baby when she was 25, it wouldn't have caught everybody's attention the same way. There was something about the timing in the life of this couple that meant this is when people are going to notice. And in God's plan, people needed to notice that John was going to be a special baby. He was born late in their marriage. His father lost his voice until the baby was born and named. They named him John and not Zechariah. People at the beginning, from the first, like from when he was born, people were aware that this was going to be a special baby. So when the answer came, it got people in the community, it got people in the hill country talking, it got people excited about what God was going to do. That was when he was a baby. By the time John grew up, he changed the world. He brought the first inklings of the gospel to the people of Israel. He started challenging them to say, you have to repent. You have to come back to God. You have to be baptized, give up your old ways, and turn to new ways. Things have to change in how you behave. He was the first one who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was the first one to understand that this Jesus that was coming wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just, you know, a spiritual leader. He was going to bring redemption to the world. And John, and I don't know how John understood that, but John understood that. He got that message. And even Zechariah, in Zechariah's prayer at the end of Luke chapter 1, he talks about John is going to prepare the way for the Lord to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Somehow Zechariah got the idea that John had a special place preparing the way for the Lord and bringing about forgiveness of sins, helping the people understand forgiveness of sins. The world was changed because Elizabeth was ready to do what God wanted when God wanted her to do it, in his time, in his circumstances. She'd faithfully followed him. She'd been just and righteous in the way she lived. She'd prayed for what she wanted. And when God said, okay, now the time is right, Elizabeth, I have a job for you. He trusted her, God trusted her to be the mother of a little boy who grew up into the last of the prophets. Actually, the angel that came and spoke to Zechariah said, you know what? He's going to live in the spirit of Elijah. And last week we heard about Elisha who wanted the double portion of Elijah's spirit. The angel says, you know what, John's going to get that spirit too. He's going to be the one who comes to prepare the way for the Lord when Jesus comes. God trusted Elizabeth to raise her child as he wanted. And it says at the end of Chapter 2, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Zechariah and Elizabeth raised this boy with the idea that you are a special baby. You're the one that God has called. It says that he's actually filled with the spirit of God from birth. John must have been quite a kid. I don't know what it would have been like to raise him. But they knew he was special, he knew he was special, and they raised him in a way that when it was time for him to come forward to do his ministry, he could do it. God picked Elizabeth because Elizabeth was the person that he could trust to do this job. So may we remain faithful like that. We are where we are because God has put us here. And our job is to be faithful where we are, whatever our circumstances. But we can also ask God to change those circumstances. But then be ready for the changes when they happen. Be ready for the consequences when the answer comes. May we be open to impacting the world the way Elizabeth did, and then her son John did. Through being righteous in the sight of God, by not being afraid to ask for change from that same God.